Today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. We're talking about Hairspray. Hey there, teenage Baltimore, don't change that channel because it's time for the Corny Collins Show, brought to you by Ultra Clutch Hairspray. Good morning, Baltimore. How's everybody doing out there? My name is James, and with me is...
Elise.
And guys, you're listening to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. This is not the Corny Collins Show. Ha 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 ha.
We just faked y'all out so good.
We were kidding. Guys, this week we're... Listen, this is why I was talking about the Corny Collins Show, because we're talking about Hairspray, aka discrimination is bad. I typed beautiful on my screen. I meant to type bad, but I
typed beautiful. Discrimination is beautiful.
Is beautiful. I don't remember what we were talking about, but I accidentally typed beautiful. Anyways,
that's really weird.
Thanks, dear Evan Hand Soap, for that alternate title. Guys, follow us on Instagram or the Twits, because we do alternate titles every week and we want you guys to join in and make them funny and make us laugh, just like our old pal Dear Evan Hand Soap. Don't know why I turned into a like a logger in the mountains. Chop down the tree, then I get out my Instagram and type alternate titles.
Okay. Oh, yikes.
Guys, so Hairspray, I mean, you put it in your hair, obviously, but also mm-hmm. you listen to it? What? Yeah, that's right.
And you can watch it as well.
Wow, what?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I did not do that.
Oh, I think you can read it too.
Well, I read the title, that's for sure.
Well.
The credits, the end credits.
Mm-hmm.
If you have captions.
The captions.
You can definitely read it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, were you saying there was a book form? Like, you can read it?
Sure.
If there's not, let's make one.
I think there is.
Okay.
So you can read it, you can watch
is
it,
a
you
fact?
Can listen to it, you could spray it.
You can definitely spray it. And guys, great things are about to be sprayed out of my mouth right now in the form of words, because I have some great stuff to say about this musical. I had never seen it before, but the old pal over there, Elise... I think she had. Have you?
Sure had. Have had?
I sure have.
I is done watching.
I is done watching?
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Will has done watching as well. Mm-hmm. So tell us, James. Tell us about your first experience with Hairspray. And then tell us about the movie.
Okay. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. my hair would get crazy.
Got as all head. Kids' hair does.
I had that bedhead. I said, no, you got to stay stiff, buddy. Mm-hmm. And sprayed my little head down. Follicles got right in line. Mm. Like a military procession.
Mm.
That's what Hairspray did for me. Now, scan forward, let's say 25 years.
Scan forward?
Mm-hmm. Just take your little... in this podcast, we're we recorded for 25 years, so just scan forward. No, I you still laughing at that dumb joke?
Yeah, sorry.
So, no, sometime last week, I think I watched Hairspray, and I was like, why have I never seen this? This is fantastic. Genuinely loved it. I didn't expect to, mainly because of the majority of the marketing just has John Travolta's face as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought... there's no way I could possibly like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I like John Travolta in the movie? We'll get to that.
But that
had me, that skewed my vision of what the movie would be.
So what was your expectation?
Honestly, no clue. I didn't know it was set in the 60s. I thought it was just like a high school sing party. I don't know.
So you thought and it was like another High School Musical type situation?
Maybe. And like, I just felt like because it's called Hairspray, I just thought it was going to be super girly.
Mm.
And I didn't find the musical girly at all. I mean, it has kind of like the teen romance thing going on, but I wouldn't say that's the focus of the movie. So I don't know. I didn't know what to expect, and what I thought was going to happen did not happen, and I was jarred.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Sure. You put in a jar.
Yeah. I was shaken.
Not stirred.
Spray. Hairspray.
What shook you?
I think the feel of it. I didn't expect the music to be the same way it is. What a stupid way to say that. I didn't expect the music to be the style it was.
Because you didn't know it was 50s. Set in the 60s.
Yeah. So like the 50s and 60s, like teeny bop era of music. I didn't expect that at all. And I've always loved that style of music, the golden oldies type feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It kind of had like a That Thing You Do vibe to it.
That Thing You Do.
Yeah. Have you seen that movie?
Mm-mm.
I don't know if we consider that a musical, but we should talk about that at some point. I think it's got enough music in it. You could probably say it's a musical.
Okay.
Anyways.
I was thinking you'd like the music because I felt like it had a similar vibe as Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. Da do?
Da do.
Da do. It do. Da do have a similar music style. As soon as it started, I got that vibe. Like, because Little Shop of Horrors starts with the downtown song, mm-hmm. and this one starts with the Good Morning Baltimore.
It's similar.
Yeah, just kind of walking the streets and being like, this is where I live. Which, you know me, I'm a huge fan of songs of like,
welcome
to the musical. This is the setting. So yeah, the music right away, I was like, oh, it's going to be like this. And I got excited. I really I think I texted you like about 20 minutes into the movie of me watching it. And I was like, this is the best decision I could have made today was to watch this musical.
You said, I'm loving it.
Well, I didn't say it like that. It was more like this, girl, I am loving it. You forgot the girl part.
Common mistake. Sorry. Apologize. Yeah,
but you've seen this musical before and you like it. So tell me, what do you feel about this musical?
What do I feel? Well, I was trying to remember. I really think that I saw this movie in theaters when it came out. Mm-hmm. I'm like 90-100% sure.
90-100.
Yeah. So
that's 9,000 if you're asking me.
Well, I'm not asking you. So,
okay.
Anyways, I'm pretty sure I did. And yeah, it's got the little doo-wop thing going on. And so it's just immediately you want to just start moving and start dancing. And
yeah, which is great. I think they picked a perfect music style to go with the kind of message of the movie. You know, it's all about dancing, really. Let's all dance together in this thing we call life. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know what great music to have as like the background of a dance musical.
Mm-hmm.
Dance musical. Yeah. I'm going to say that's what it is.
Okay. Be confident.
I'm calling this a dance musical. Taking out my dance musical stamp. Punching it right in the face.
You're punching the stamp in the face?
No, I'm punching the musical in the face with the stamp.
Oh, don't do that. The whole thing is like nonviolence.
Okay, I'm touching the. You can't really touch something with a stamp and it works.
Maybe you can.
I don't know. Press.
You
could, yeah. Press it in the face.
Lightly press.
What?
You could just say stamp. Isn't that a verb? You stamp it.
Let's move on.
Okay. Moving on. So then once I saw it, it became my goal to memorize most of the music or whatever, pick my favorite mm-hmm. songs and memorize them. So then I was listening to the music over and over for who knows how long, you know? Who knows?
I certainly don't.
Well, yeah, you don't.
Are we going to talk about that later?
Nope.
Okay.
And then I found my old iPod recently and I was going mm-hmm. through some really crazy old songs. And then like all the Hairspray songs were coming up. Because I had put them on there, I was like, I'm going to memorize these. So yeah, I loved the music. And then when I watched it again, because I hadn't seen it in years, when I watched it again, I was like, oh, girl, it's my jam. And I started standing up and
that's what you
clapping.
Told yourself?
Yeah. I did. I was like sitting there and I was like,
did you say, girl, I am loving it?
I did. Except I like to talk in first, third person. What is it? When you say your own name?
Sixth
person.
Yeah,
I say Elise. You are loving it.
What attracted you to it right off the bat? Was it the music, just the style, or the plot?
I think it's like the general vibe and how everything's upbeat. And I mean, I guess I'll just go into this now, but I just think that...
Go into it.
I will, if you'll allow it.
I can't stop the beat.
That's true. You can't stop the Blonsky, Nikki Blonsky, the person who played the main character. She...
Oh, okay.
I think that she's a very interesting person to watch. And I feel like her voice was very fitting. It's an interesting voice, and it's not... I don't know. There's something about her voice that's just very perfect for this type of musical, I felt like. So I felt like her opening the whole movie and singing that Good Morning Baltimore song, like, I immediately was like, I love it. Done.
Yeah.
Punch my...
Punch your stamp.
Punch my stamp.
Yeah, she has like a innocent sound to her that really fits that style of music.
Yeah.
I started watching the live version of Hairspray.
I wanted to NBC do that,
I didn't get all the way through. It wasn't so bad, but the main character they picked didn't quite have that same feel. So I don't know who this girl is in this movie. Mm-hmm. Has she been in anything else?
A couple other things, but not. She's not like been super famous.
That's too bad. I thought she did a really great job.
I agree.
Oh, we got to do the plot.
Oh, the plot. I forgot about that. So basically, what happened was...
Okay.
There's a girl, and she just wants to dance. Yeah, and so she watches this show all the time called The Corny Collar Show, and she just wants to dance and groove, etc. And so she hears about this audition. She says, I gotta go audition because I'm good. So then she goes, and she auditions, and they say, no, no, no. She gets on the show. How does she get on the show? Oh, because she gets into detention. And the black boys teach her how to, like, dance, like, a little bit gnarly. And then she does her gnarly moves at the big social event where they have, you know, the blacks and the whites divided. The Corny Collins, he sees that and he goes, ooh, I like that. Where the money at? And then he decides to have her on the show. So she can do her inappropriate moves on the television.
Yeah, I think it's called Thang. He wants her to do her thang.
I just feel like you made that sound very creepy.
I know.
Okay, good. So she does her
thang.
And then basically, you know, there's like a lot of stuff going on where she's like, I want integration. And then there's people that are like, no, it's all about her. You know, you don't read it in your history books, but she's the one that started the integration. And if it wasn't her, it wouldn't have happened.
I don't believe that last part, but I think the majority of what you said is probably accurate. I'd say probably about 90-100% of it was accurate. So let's start from the beginning.
Start at the very beginning.
Every
a very
time,
good place
you know what's funny?
To start,
I feel like every time I say "start at the beginning," you say "start at the very beginning,"
and then you say.
And every time I say every time.
We're just good. In a vicious cycle.
So yeah, we kind of talked about the "Good Morning Baltimore" song. Great song. I just knew right off the bat like this was gonna be fun because like. It's a fun song, but also, like, it's got funny moments, too.
Yeah.
Like, talking to the drunk guy at the bar and stuff. And
yeah, here's the thing. She says, they wish me luck on my way to school. And he's, like, completely drunk and knocked out. What I love about this musical is it's got really good music. It's got a good plot, but it also doesn't take itself seriously. Every other line is usually like something clever or a little joke. And I think we've seen that topic done several times. And I mean, it's a dark topic and it can be really intense and it can be...
Segregation. No bueno. That's what we learned like back in the 60s, right?
Yeah. Segregation. No bueno.
No bueno.
That's
probably not the most profound way to say that. I understand.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, let's put it on a shirt. Well, that's the name. That was the alternate title. Discrimination is bad.
And then on the back, segregation equals no bueno.
Oh, an equal sign in there now. Okay.
Yeah, because of like equality.
So you put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd bring it up. Making it up right now. This musical, it was obviously it addressed it, but it was kind of just had a very hopeful, upbeat kind of like happy ending message.
Yeah, it's not very heavy handed. Like yeah. It's not like, hey, let's get these kids into school, which is, or the, what was the movie recently with the ladies that worked at NASA? And it's not about changing the political system in that regard. It's just about like kids wanting to dance together.
And I mean, she still was taking that risk to, you know, march with them and stuff.
Do you have a favorite song in this musical? I know you gotta. You must. I don't know why I'm doing this like weird Corny Collins host thing.
Yeah,
today.
Like you're an interviewer.
Listen up, listeners. I know you gotta have a favorite song. Why don't you tickle my eardrums with the title of that song?
Tickle my eardrums. That's just so difficult because there's so many that I like. So I'm gonna have you go first.
There's quite a few that I like as well. Let me just list a few that I like first. I love Good Morning Baltimore.
Yes.
I like I Can Hear the Bells.
Yes.
I really enjoy that song. I think the marching song, the I Know Where I've Been, that Queen Latifah sings, I think that's a really powerful song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Even the last song, You Can't Stop the Beat.
Mm-hmm.
Great finale song.
Yes.
Like that. It's such a perfect song for the end of a musical, and it just worked so well. So I had to think of like which one got stuck in my head the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is still my favorite song, despite some things I don't like about it. But I think my favorite song is Welcome to the 60s.
Oh, you didn't even mention that one. I thought it was going to be one of the few you just mentioned.
No. It's my fave.
That is very interesting.
Welcome to the 60s.
Why is it your favorite?
It's just so catchy and it's just fun. And I just love the scene of them like going out and exploring the streets of like, welcome to this decade, ma'am. But having said that, I can't stand at the end when like it's like a 6 minute song. And like near the end, John Travolta starts singing. I know it's supposed to be funny. Like this dude dressed as a woman that's singing and putting on this. Why? Mm-hmm. It was just weird.
What I don't understand is, okay, so like he was in Greece, so he can sing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did he sing in Greece or was he dubbed? I have no idea.
Oh.
We'll find out. We're doing Greece in a few weeks.
I totally thought he could. I thought he did sing that.
I mean, he might. I don't know. I'm just saying sometimes we're surprised.
So like, I wonder if maybe he was trying to make his voice sound more feminine, and that's why it kept coming out as, like, unpleasant.
Yeah. He was very much, like, he wasn't trying to belt out his best tune. He was just trying to stay in character. And, like, what would this character sound like if she was trying to sing? I just don't understand.
Did you think
that
it's a little bit
casting
funny?
Choice. A little bit, yeah. There are times where he's just acting. I'm like, that was kind of funny. But I think when he starts to get, like, to the parts where it's singing, I'm not so, because I love that song, Welcome to the 60s. And then he's like scatting at the end, like, beepity, beepity, bo, skibbity, bo, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ruined it. Don't like.
Are we getting into John Travolta right now? Or are we going
to? Let's hear your favorite song and then let's just talk about JT after a bit.
Justin Timberlake? It's just, it's hard, okay? It's hard to choose.
No, I understand.
Don't pressure
me. This is
like
a safe place.
I like the song It Takes Two, but that song got cut from the movie. Like you hear like a little tiny bit of it. But on the soundtrack, it's a good song.
Yeah.
I love I Can Hear the Bells.
Yeah.
I love Lady's Choice.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah. I like Welcome to the 60s. I really like Without Love. And I really like You Can't Stop the Beat. That's seven. But if I was choosing my favorite, Miss Baltimore Crabs.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that song too. I almost added it to my
list.
Yeah,
you didn't mention it, so I didn't know for sure.
It's got like a very like tango feel
to it. Yeah,
it's
like salsa. But it's got a lot of like snarky talking throughout and Michelle Pfeiffer. That's how you say her name, right?
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer.
I just think she like killed it.
And I love that how they do like different dances in that one too. Like they're like, this is the mashed potato or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know how the song goes. She says, twist, 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 mashed potato mambo.
It's kind of got a Chicago vibe to it.
Yeah, I thought of that too. Because it had a like squish kind of sound.
Squish. It sounded real squishy.
It did. It really did. Let me just first ask you, what's your least favorite song?
My least favorite song is You're Timeless to Me.
Okay, tell me why.
Once again, don't like John Travolta's singing voice. I mean, Christopher Walken's hilarious, and I liked him in this movie. I thought he was funny. I thought it was good casting, but he's also not the greatest singer. And so the song to me just, it was a funny concept, but then I think played out, it was just a little tedious to watch. I think it lasted too long.
I thought maybe you would like it just because it
I found it funny.
Yeah, I thought you would think it was funny. When I was thinking about what my least favorite song would be, at first I thought of that just because, like you said, just kind of the singing mostly.
Yeah,
but then it's an obvious
choice, but...
But then I was like, I think I really like the song.
So what is your least favorite then? I'm so curious now.
My least favorite is New Girl in Town.
New Girl in Town. I don't know. I don't remember how it goes. I think it was something
I'm
like
not
that.
I'm not sure if it goes like that, but it just never stuck out to me, and I don't really care about it. It's fine,
yeah,
but I don't really care. It's that moment where both... like on Negro Day, they choose the same song, and then Michelle Pfeiffer gets really mad.
I like how the song does show the difference in styles of how like they can be singing the same song, but there's like a difference. I agree with you. It's not the best song. I like the sound of the song, like the it's upbeat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now can we talk about JT?
Let's talk about JT.
Johnny
Trav.
Good old Johnny Trav.
Let me just say, I'll just say what I want to say, because it's a little different from what you said. The role of Edna is apparently always played by a man doing drag.
Which is strange, but funny. Yeah,
yeah, you got to just like accept it, first of all. Just accept it. It's just how it is. You know, dogs bark. It's just part of life. You just have to be okay with it. I liked it. I thought he was good. Like, I think his singing was, that just always was a little weird to me because I know he's been in Grease and I think in my head he always can sing well. So that was a little strange to me, but I felt like he was perfect as far as acting super womanly. And like, I mean, I feel like I can hardly tell the difference between him and, you know, a big lady.
But I think if you're going to cast it as a man, I feel like it shouldn't be subtle, because then you're just wondering, why is it a man? I feel like it needs to be more blatant. And that's why the guy that was originally in the musical, his name's Harvey Fierstein. Fierstein, I believe. He was in Mrs. Doubtfire. He had that really raspy voice. Like,
that's an ironic movie to bring up.
Because he's dressing like a woman. Yeah, but he's kind of always he's always been known for having that really raspy voice. And so he was in the Broadway version, and then he was also in the NBC Live version. He reprised his role. I was watching it going, okay, how does he play this role of Edna, is her name? And it was more blatantly obvious that it was a man, and he's got that really deep, raspy voice. And he's like, oh, honey, you can't go out. You can't try out for that show. And that to me was just way more funny than John Travolta trying to actually be a woman.
I think it's just funny because we all know that it's John Travolta, but you look at Edna and you're just like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's really, maybe it's a little disturbing too. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe I just don't like John Travolta in that role.
Yeah.
Maybe let's replace him with somebody else. Can we recast him?
Let's talk about that later.
I want to do Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, I have another question for you.
Bring it on.
That's a different musical.
By Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So what did you think of Zac Efron?
What did I think of our old buddy Zac? I liked him. Like the song Lady's Choice, I think, is that's his like big song mm-hmm. solo. That's really him singing, right?
Yeah.
Great song. That's a fun song.
Right? Good singer.
Yeah, he did a great job. And he was funny in this too. Like, mm-hmm. as we kind of talked about, this musical kind of has like a, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think you posted somewhere, I don't remember, but him like where he sings into the candy bar and then takes a bite out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Funny. That was
very funny.
I didn't even know he was in it.
Yeah. See, this is why I think.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because I said, I didn't even know he was in it. And you said, yeah.
Yeah, because I told you. I was like, guess what? Zac well, I mean, Efron and Amanda that. Bynes.
Yeah, but I mean, before
and you
that.
Thought, I think you thought that was a prank.
Well, it's a strange cast. Amanda Bynes was a strange casting
Okay, let's
choice.
Get into that. What do you think about that?
I love me some AB. Since I was a little kid, I told you, one of my first crushes as a kid.
So do you feel like she did a good job?
Yeah, she played a real ditzy idiot. And she did a great job.
Maybe she's just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, but it's me. The look on her face just kind of is like.
And she's got this mother restricts her. I mean, she won't even let her like wash her socks. So.
Really?
Well, it's just something I imagined.
Oh, I thought that was in the movie. I was like, what a strange thing.
No, but it could be.
Anyways, Amanda Bynes did a good job.
Did you like her singing?
I think I did, but she didn't really sing that much. So it's hard for me to remember. What is she singing?
She sings Without Love.
I don't know. Nothing really stuck out to me like that was like jarring.
It doesn't bother me. It's just you can definitely tell it's her. It's very distinct and it's kind of like, yeah. Oh, she's not like the best singer, but it doesn't bother me.
She's just there for support. Supporting her friend.
Yeah. Supporting actress.
We all need one of those friends, you know?
What are friends?
I don't know. Facts. Let's do facts.
All right.
Wanna,
are you
I
ready?
I want to hear some facts. Yes. Bring on the facts.
Play that theme song.
Rate my fact.
And that's a fact.
Oh, what a great theme song.
That was so good. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm going to judge you so hard.
I'm scared. All right. The producer, Adam Shankman, offered the role of Link Larkin to Zac Efron after seeing him in High School Musical and being impressed with his performance.
I did like his performance in Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his comedic timing in High School Musical was good.
Okay.
I feel like as a serious actor, he doesn't necessarily sell it for me.
But in the role of like kind of like an upbeat, fun musical.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see that. I could see seeing him in High School Musical and being like, that's my guy.
Well, and
teenage heartthrob.
Yeah. And that role needs like a young, attractive, good singer, good dancer. He does all of that in High School Musical.
Three High School Musicals. That's your audition tape. Yeah. You get the part.
I would think so.
Okay, so yeah, that's not a bad fact. But I don't want you to get a big head, so start low.
I think you have to rate it based on your actual feelings. You can't just...
Okay, 7.5 then. It's just going to cut you off. Throw that 7.5 right in your face.
Thank Boom. You. I'll take that punch
Just
stamp.
Like a stamp.
Okay, fact numero dos.
Wait, hold on. Did you like that rating?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like a 7.5. Like, I like my eggs in the morning.
What? I like a 7.5. Like, I like my eggs in the morning, she says.
Because I like them. All right, next. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Amanda Bynes' character, Penny, is seen constantly eating lollipops. Bynes' father, who is a dentist, became very worried for her dental health, as it was estimated she ate about 40 lollipops a day. She told him she wasn't really eating all of them, when in reality, she ate them all.
That's funny. I will rate that a 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's really funny.
High five.
It's funny that she lied to him, too. Like, she didn't have to eat those lollipops.
She enjoyed them. All right, next fact. Most of the cast jokingly called You Can't Stop the Beat, You Can't Stop to Breathe. Because of its pace and fast-moving lyrics. But Queen Latifah said she had no trouble singing a lot of words very quickly because of her background as a rapper.
Kind of a funny fact to start off with.
You can't stop to breathe.
Yeah. So that's funny. Interesting. Clever.
I like to be in on their inside jokes, you know, it makes me feel
like that's nice. I like that. But you know what pushes that over the top for me? That Queen Latifah was like, you guys are dumb. This is easy.
She roasted that's so those hardcore. White guys.
So that makes it an even funnier fact to me. I'm going to give that another, I'll give you another 9. How about that?
Heck yeah. Okay. Now here's the fact that you're going to like. So a person that was considered for the role of Edna was Robin Williams.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And you literally said that earlier.
And I guessed it. Yeah.
That's why I said, shut up.
I feel like that, that makes so much sense to me.
I know.
And I think you would have done a great job.
I agree.
If I give it less than a 10, then I don't actually agree with my own thoughts. So I got to give it a 10.
I think you do.
I backed myself into a corner.
Corner? I hardly know her. Now I take you to a new segment within a segment.
This is exciting. I didn't know we were doing this.
Surprise. This segment is called Singer? I hardly know her. Where we get to know the main actress in this musical. Are you ready to learn about Nikki Blonsky?
I am. I like this.
So I'm going to tell you 3 facts about Nikki Blonsky, who plays our main character. And then you're going to rate how well you know her now. And you get to ask me.
Hold on. I'm going to rate how well I know her now?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Scale 1 to 10. How well do you know her?
Okay.
1, not a lot. 10, a ton. Then at the end of that, you'll get to ask me 1 question about her that only I know.
Wait, how do you know it?
Because.
How do you know what I'm going to ask?
Because I hardly knew her. Now I know her. So Nikki Blonsky.
I think I get what's going on.
You'll get it. Nikki Blonsky. Okay. Yes. First fact. She is only 4'10 in height.
I would have guessed a little taller, but now that you say it, I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Fact number 2. When she had found out that she was cast in this movie, she was working at Cold Stone Creamery at that very moment.
What? My brother worked at Cold Stone. What if they worked together?
Hey.
What if they were co-workers? Hey,
he probably knows her.
I wonder if she was like, you can't stop the cream.
Probably. All right, fact number 3. This movie came out in 2007. In 2011... Nikki earned a cosmetology license and began working part-time as a hairstylist and a makeup artist in between acting auditions.
It's kind of sad.
I mean, she was in a movie called Hairspray, so I found that super interesting.
Well, it is interesting, but it's also, like I said, I feel like she did a great job, and it's sad she wasn't in more stuff, so it's...
She was in a couple of things. Her. So, I mean, don't be, like, super depressed.
I'm so depressed. What do I do? Boo-hoo.
I don't know.
So now I rate how well I know her based on these things?
Yeah.
Cold Stone Creamery. Hairspray.
Well.
Cosmetology.
4'10".
I know this woman so well now. Probably on a scale of 1 to 10... I'd say our friendship level goes to a 6.
Wow. What was it at first? A 0?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know her name. Still don't know her name.
Nikki Blonsky? I just told you like 8 times. Nikki Blonsky. All right. Do you have any question that you want to ask about Nikki?
Where did she have her first kiss?
Well, it was actually in Louisiana.
Oh, my home state. Maybe they did work at Cold Stone together.
Standing in a cornfield.
Corny Collins field.
Yeah. And then this tall man was sitting on a goat, and the goat was lost.
Ooh, yeah, that's not good.
In the cornfield, ran into her. He said, "Might I have an ear of corn?" She said, "I don't."
The goat said this?
Yes. Okay. She said, "I don't own this field. Do what you want." And then he kissed her.
The goat kissed her.
Mm-hmm.
Why was there an old man in this story? Tall man.
Just because the old man was...
Is he what scared the goat away?
Well, he had the map, and he had it upside down.
Oh, that's why the goat's lost.
And that's why the goat was confused.
But I didn't expect her first kiss. I'm going to be honest. Did not expect it to be with a goat.
I mean, you just don't know Nikki very well yet, but...
Yeah, just a 6, but I feel like, you know what? Maybe it's a 6.2 now.
Okay, good. I'm glad I could help you 0.2%.
Nikki's the goat, as the kids are saying these days.
Is that supposed to be like Oh,
greatest of all time.
Greatest, oh, how did you know that?
I'm smart.
I forgot. I just learned that the other day. I immediately forgot it because I hated it so much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job.
Thank you.
Good job with that.
Wait, no. Good job to you because you thought of the facts. I was just rating them.
Yeah, I thought them up, all those facts.
No. Remember, guys, these are facts any 9-year-old could look up on IMDb.
Which is...
We're just bringing them to you in an entertaining format.
But you know what I was thinking, hopefully, too? I mean, how many times do you watch a movie and then go look up facts? I've looked at the internet sometimes. Wasn't done. Oh. You know, when I watch a movie that, like, has a lot of levels to it and I kind of want to, like, delve in deeper and, like, catch things I missed, like, that sort of thing?
Or yeah, like Inception.
Never saw that. Yeah. Or at least I dreamt I never did.
That's cool.
Maybe I don't get the movie.
That's kind of what it's about, yeah.
But yeah, so we're basically just doing the legwork for you so that you can hear fun facts.
Yeah. You're welcome, people.
Yeah.
Elise, I want to play Fact or Fate.
Here comes the theme song.
Fact or Fate.
Now that's a fact, baby. Guys, Elise is going to give me 3 facts. One of them's fake. I got to guess which one is true, which one is true, and which one is false. I said that weird, but you get the point.
All right. Fact number one. Nikki Blonsky, who you know very well at this point.
6.2.
Says that when she came into the studio on the very first day, John Travolta looked at her and he was like, "Come to mama."
Oh boy,
so that's
Johnny.
Your first fact. All right, second fact. Adam Shankman, the producer, made Zac Efron make out with the picture frame in the Without Love sequence for over an hour.
If I had that kind of control over Zac Efron, I would do the same
Without
thing.
Love. All right. Number 3 fact. Christopher Walken, who played Wilbur, revealed in an interview that when John Travolta was dressed as Edna, he reminded him of his mother.
Very difficult to choose. Which one is fake? I feel like Zac Efron making out with a picture for an hour, like an hour straight? Or just like it took them an hour to film that scene. Hard to say.
Hard to say.
I want it to be an hour straight so bad, but I have a feeling it's like over the course of an hour. So I could see that. I could see that happening. The come to mama thing, I don't know enough about John Travolta to know his personality. So maybe he's just like that. You know, maybe he's a funny guy. And then, okay, well, I know Christopher Walken's mom real well.
Oh, I didn't even do a segment on her.
So I guess... gosh, that's really hard. I'm going to say that the fake one is the first one.
Final answer.
What was it again? What did he say?
Come to mama.
No. That's not my final answer because that makes sense because it's the mom.
Minute.
He's the mom. Johnny Trav was the mom. It makes sense for him to say that. I'm going to go with the last one. Fake.
Final answer.
Yeah. I bet Christopher Walken, he probably didn't even know his mom.
All right. Final answer?
Final answer.
Ding, dang, dong.
I got it right.
You got it right.
Oh, I'm so glad I changed it.
I know. That was close.
Look at me clutching my heart.
I know. You really are.
It's beating.
So basically, apparently John Travolta really did say, come to mama. And Nikki Blonsky told Oprah Winfrey that on a show. I think that's hilarious.
Good for Oprah.
And see, I think that's why I'm like, I think I like John Travolta because that's funny. And yeah, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was for an hour straight that he had to make out with that, but I think that that's also super funny. I wish they would have just had that whole hour in the movie.
Yeah, they should have, like, if you buy it on DVD, I hope there's a deleted scene.
There's
of him
not.
Just, like,
I own it on DVD or Dick Van Dyke, as we all know.
I own it on Dick Van Dyke.
I know. Christopher Walken, you know, he never said that. I just feel like Christopher Walken is just weird enough that that might sound believable.
Yeah.
So,
and he seems like the kind of guy that would be sentimental too. Like, yeah. Hey, you remind me of my
mother.
Mother.
I've never tried to do a Christopher Walken impression and I never will again.
I have tried and I feel like anybody can do a decent one.
I don't think I can.
All you have to do is barely talk. I'm doing it. No, yeah, that was bad too. Elise. Listen up. I like the lyrics to this musical, but I don't know all of them. Tell me lyrics and let me guess them is what I'm saying.
All right. So I'm James, and this segment is all about, you know, I'm going to give some lyrics to songs.
To me, Elise.
Yep, to Elise, to some songs from this musical. And then Elise has to guess which songs they're from. So play that theme song. Hey, wait a second. I gotta know.
What song is that from? Like how when you host it, every time, play that theme song.
Because whenever I listen to it, the theme song always scares me when it comes on.
Oh, you need some warning.
Yeah. Okay. It's like all of a sudden there's just instruments and yeah.
I'll take notes from you.
I kind of panic a little
next
bit.
Next time I do the games, I'll warn people that the theme song is about to happen.
Yeah, because like what if people have like triggers?
Trigger?
Okay, let's play this game. You ready?
We truly have switched roles.
That sounded like a Christopher Walken impression.
Our roles have truly... I can't do it.
That was actually the best one you've done so far.
Yay!
That was your John Travolta Edna impression. Can you do it, John Travolta?
Thank you, honey. That's my John Travolta in this
That's
movie.
Pretty good.
Oh, yes, dear. Oh, thank you, honey. I'm John Travolta dressed as a woman.
I give that impression a 9.5.
Okay, you know what? I'm sick of this. Tell me lyrics.
Whoa. You don't have to have an attitude or else I'm leaving. Treat me with respect or I'm out of here. Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we go. You can laugh, but life's a test. Don't do this. Don't do that.
You can laugh. Life's a test. Mm-hmm. You can do... No, don't do this.
Don't do this. Don't do that.
Don't do that. You can laugh. The word laugh there.
Oh, boy.
I feel like that's an important word.
Okay.
In giving me the answer to this.
Why do you think that?
Because Christopher Walken owns a laugh shop, basically. Joke shop. Am I way off? No, I feel like that's him talking to his wife. I want to say that's your timeless to me. But I don't want that to be my final answer. I just want you to hear my thought process on this.
I'm listening to you.
So I feel like that's why. That's why I would go with that. So I don't feel dumb. I explained it. That's logical, right? That's a good conclusion.
That's logical.
I'm going to say that's my final answer. You're timeless to me.
Bonk.
Oh. Well, at least you know I thought it out.
Yeah, you did. I appreciate that. So that was from Miss Baltimore Crabs.
Oh.
Don't do this, don't do that.
Oh, yeah. Dang it, I should have asked for you to sing it.
Next. Now, don't you sniff around for something fluffy and light. We need a man who brings a man-size appetite.
Boy, these are hard.
I don't know if you've noticed, when I play this game, I like to find, like, the funny lines or, like, just the weird lines that are just very strange.
We need a man with a man-sized appetite. What was the first part of it?
Now, don't you sniff around for something fluffy and light.
I feel like that's from Big Blonde and Beautiful. I'm going to go Big Blonde and Beautiful.
Bing, bang, bong.
Look at me. I got half of the ones right so far.
Look at you.
Yeah, look at me.
Hey, everybody, look at me. Come and see how good I look. Okay. In my ivory tower... Life was just a hostess snack.
What?
You heard.
You heard? In my ivory tower, life was just a hostess snack.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. I can hear the bells.
Bonk.
Here's
your hint. The line right after that, this person says, but now I've tasted chocolate and I'm never going back.
Oh, run and tell that.
Without love.
Oh, because he eats the chocolate.
It's Amanda Bynes singing.
Oh, okay.
She's never going back. It. All right. Good try. Next lyric. Forget about your algebra and calculus. You can always do your homework on the morning bus.
I know this one, too. You can always... is it The Nicest Kids in Town?
Yeah.
Bonk. See?
Wait,
told you.
What is it? What do I say? Ding, dang, dong.
Ding, I think you normally say bing, bang, bong.
Oh, shoot. You're right. Whatever. Something different every time. I see all those party lights shining ahead, so someone invite me before I drop dead.
Gotcha. Before I drop dead. Oh, gosh. I feel like that's probably something in Welcome to the 60s. No, wait.
Wait for it.
Or is it from I Can Hear the Bells? Did we already guess I Can Hear the Bells and I was wrong?
You did guess it and you were wrong at one point.
Okay. So I'm going to guess I Can Hear the Bells again because I feel like that's the right answer.
Honk.
Dadgummit. What was it? Welcome to
Good
the 60s.
Good morning, Baltimore.
Oh, wait. What was the lyric again? I forgot the lyric.
I see all those party lights shining ahead. So someone invite me before I drop dead.
Yeah. Good morning, Baltimore.
No.
Okay.
Good morning, Baltimore.
I was singing the harmony part.
Okay. All right. Last one. This is last.
Wait, how many have we gotten right and wrong?
You...
Is it half and half?
There's five we've done so far, so 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5?
Yeah.
So I can only get half good.
Yep. If That's you get fun. This one, you get 50%. Hey, baby.
Hey.
Look at me.
Oh, okay.
I'm the cutest chickie that you ever did see.
Probably lady's choice, right? Let's say that. Let's go with that. Lady's choice.
Let me try to sing
okay.
it.
Okay. Dang it. I'm answering
hey,
too
baby,
quick.
Hey, baby, look at me.
Is that really how it goes?
Well, the point was the voice that was supposed to help you.
Oh, you're Christopher Walken?
I'm the cutest chickie that you ever did see.
Is that you're timeless to me?
No.
Dadgummit.
Welcome to the 60s. Oh.
I knew that. Oh, it's John Travolta.
Yeah, I was trying to do my John Travolta voice.
I knew that too.
But I
listened to the soundtrack so much and I loved it. And none of it stuck.
But hey, you still got 2 right out of 6.
Oh, yay.
2/6 = 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got 33%.
33.333333%.
Yes. Yay, James. Good job.
Better than 0.
I never get to play this game and I got 2 out of 6.
Oh, I forgot. I was going to, when I asked you about Zac Efron, I was going to ask if you would give him the first impression, Rose.
From The Bachelorette?
Yeah.
First impression.
Like if he made a good first impression on you is what I was going to ask. I forgot.
You mean because of High School Musical? I don't watch The Bachelorette enough to know what a first impression Rose is. I thought you were asking me to do an impression of Zac Efron.
Oh, no. I'd love to hear that, though.
Oh, I couldn't. He's just like a generic man voice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't know how you would do that.
Yeah.
Amber, there's no need to be cruel.
Hey, baby. I like your moves.
So you guys are the judges of who did the Zac Efron impression better. Hit us up. Let us know. Happy to do more impressions.
Tweet at us asking us to make videos of impressions of people. Nobody's going to do that, but that would be so funny if somebody did.
I think we're both like not that good at impressions.
Yeah. I think I could do voices, but they're just like nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Except my Harry Fierstein was pretty good.
Actually, you know who I think you do a really good impression of? What's her name from Bob's Burgers? Whenever you do your...
But that's not intentional.
I know, and that's
just
why
it's
me funny.
Being weird. Do you want to rate this? Do you want to rate this musical?
But I feel like you should go first.
Yes, I agree.
Rude.
I'm going to give it a 9. I thought it was great. The music's just super fun. The acting's great. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
The casting was well. Even John Travolta, like, I like other performances of that character that I've seen better. But John Travolta, it was fine. So, I loved it. And I would listen to these songs all the time. Also, a big reason I'm giving it a 9 is because I do think it tackles a serious subject. And I think it does it in a very... good way. Like I don't feel like it'll change the world, but I feel like if you were watching this like maybe as a kid growing up, it would indoctrinate you with some good morals, so you would grow up knowing some good life lessons. You know, what about you? What would you rate this?
You know, I'm also gonna give this a 9.
Yeah, 9 buddies. Is this, I feel like this is the first
second.
Time in a long time we've matched.
Oh yeah, second time, I think.
Second time ever?
I think so.
That we've matched? What was our first one? Hamilton?
Maybe. I just remember us matching. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 9 because I love pretty much all the music. I think that, like you said, casting was good. I mean, I liked everybody, but I'm just kind of saying this because I didn't say this earlier, but Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, is such a good villain.
Oh, yeah. We didn't really talk She's about just that, but yeah.
So villainous. And I love it. And those little like veins in her neck keep popping out. And she just looks so evil, but like also beautiful. And it's just great.
Yeah. It took me a while to realize that was her. And then I was like,
You were like, Pfeiffer? I hardly know her.
So. Yeah, a little bit of that. And also just realizing that it was Catwoman.
So I thought she was just a perfect little villain. And Amber, who is, what is her name? Something, Kristen Snow or something.
Maybe.
Were you thinking of Amber? I hardly know her.
Yeah. I was trying to keep
Why
that
Why
are
you
in.
Holding it in?
I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't a good time to drop one of those jokes.
Well, when your face looks like it's going to explode, it's pretty hard to ignore. Brittany Snow. I think that's her name.
John Snow.
So yeah, I thought she was super great. And obviously, I think Zac Efron was amazing in this. I think Zac Efron should continue to pursue movie musicals. Not sure
so
why he keeps veering away from that. That's his goal and that's his path he should be taking. Please listen to me, Zach. I know you're out there listening. I even like the camera movements. I like the
direction.
Cinematography.
Yeah.
I like how, you know, we're watching a TV show and they distinguish that really well. But then, like, the music, like, flows in between just, like, being on TV and, like, in real life. I like that aspect.
IRL.
I like, what'd you say?
IRL. In real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I said this before, but I like that they're covering a serious issue in a very good and hopeful and upbeat way. And yes. It's got some really good messages. And I like how the main character, she really doesn't have that classic moment like most movies have where she's like, maybe I can't do it after all, you know?
Yeah.
She never thinks that. She's just like, no. I'm just
she's
gonna
like,
do
put
it.
Put me in a giant hairspray bottle, ram me through this building.
Yeah, she straight up did what she gotta do. But, you know, ultimately it wasn't even for herself. I mean, you know, she started out on a path of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna prove myself. And then she realized there's way bigger issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And like you said, it was more she realized, hey, we should all be able to dance together. That's so stupid that we can't. It's dumb. And then that little girl won, and then they just straight up integrated the TV show, and then everybody was like, wow, this is happening. This is real life.
Yeah.
So yeah, solid nines all around.
Nine is fine all the time, as I always say. In one episode.
What? Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds really familiar.
I think we did it in a Moana episode. Was that the one we both gave nines?
Probably. Or Hamilton.
Speaking of Hamilton, I think that's going to do it for Hairspray. But next week, we're going to do In the Heights, which is written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm excited about In the Heights. I've heard some of it, but haven't seen the plot. So, and I think, Elise, have you heard any of it?
No.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see another Lin-Manuel Miranda creation.
I'd rather see a movie called In the Shorts.
In the Shorts? Instead of In the Heights, but also pants? Like,
yep, it's about a very short person in their attempt
shorts.
To find shorts that you
fit.
Know. Yeah.
Let's write it.
Okay.
I still want to do an episode where we make up a musical.
Don't tell them.
Anyway, so guys, follow us on social media at WRLM Podcast on Twitter and at We Really Like Musicals on Instagram. Also, you can find us on Facebook, and we're going to be asking you, give us an alternate title for In the Heights.
In the Heights.
So yeah, follow us on that stuff because why not? What else are you going to do? You know? So guys, thanks for listening to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our... I'm going to burp in the middle of my... Where was I? We really... Whatever.
We really like musicals.
And we have opinions about them, so let's do it in a Christopher Walken accent.
Okay.
We really like musicals, and we have opinions about them. So, no. Okay, lost it. Parentheses, the musicals.
You, when you said roll, you do that word really well in his accent.
Yeah, but who cares? Tina.
Yeah, Tina.
That was my Tina. Anyways, guys, okay, whatever. You know the title of this. You've been listening the whole time. I'm James, and...
And I'm Elise.
And this episode has been sponsored by Ultra Clutch Hairspray. See you guys later. I'm the huge
Cheeky DJ ABC.
Musicals. Jazz.